Well, hello everyone, and welcome to our first session of 2026. It is great to be back with you. I trust everyone had a blessed and joyous Christmas. And I also trust that as we enter into 2026, that you're looking forward to a blessed and joyful year as well. And I use the word blessed in both of those purposefully, as you'll see today. So let's just jump into the teaching today. The Lord led me back to some things in Genesis as we were studying, really, the best gift ever when we were talking about man being created. And my pastor was also teaching this so that we could see the perfected nature of the creation and begin to relate to it as well. And the Lord then began to focus me on one word in his scripture, and that was blessing. So as I prayed about it, I feel like that he has directed us, just perceiving my heart, that he strongly directed us to teach on the blessing. And I would put the and blessing in all caps to emphasize it. You're going to see as we do this today, as we enter into this discussion of the blessing, how it is can be applied to the gospel, the good news about Jesus. I think we tend sometimes to segment things in the old covenant from the new, but I think this is one that there is a continuity throughout Scripture. And so we're going to be learning together this year as we talk about the blessing. Let's just begin looking at three New Testament scriptures before we go back to the Old Testament, because I want to set a framework. We're not going to answer all the questions that may arise as we read these first three verses, but we're going to be coming back to each one of them today. So go with me to Romans, the 15th chapter, the 29th verse. Romans 15, 29. And I'm going to be reading from several translations here, so I'll tell you which ones we're in. I'm starting with the New American Standard, and that'll be the one I use the most frequently, as normal. Paul, writing to the Romans, says this, "And I know that when I come to you," so he's going to visit them, telling them he's coming to visit them, "I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ." And so I want to emphasize several words here. The first word is the blessing. Obviously, that's what we're going to be talking about. But then the second word that Paul says that I want to emphasize is, I will come how? In the fullness of that blessing. And the third thing is, of Christ. But fullness of the blessing. And as I studied this, I could just sense us asking some questions about it. First one is, what is the blessing? What are you talking about there, Minton? And then the natural question we have is this something I can walk in? Maybe you say, is this something I should be walking in? Or you might be saying, is that actually something we can do to walk in this blessing? Not just in the blessing, but in the what, as Paul said? In the fullness of the blessing. Is that true today, or is this one of those things that theologians say was just for, theologians, or I would say religious people, say, is this just for the time when Paul was writing to get the church established? So the fullness of the blessing of Christ, what does it include? What is a part of it? We're going to examine all of these things. And then you may be thinking, has anyone ever walked in the fullness of the blessing? Now, we know Jesus walked perfectly, and you're going to be seeing that I believe he too walked in and displayed what the fullness of the blessing is. And you may have more questions, but I want you to know that in December, the middle part of the month, when we were really getting into this, and then my pastor progressed in teaching and talked in one session a little bit about the blessing, the Lord just began to draw me to this scripture. Now let's look at this verse in two more translations. In the New King James, it writes, it is translated, but I know, I like that, but I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, you see why I talked about the good news. But Paul is telling us as a certainty, I think, that he's coming in the fullness of the blessing. So that may answer a couple of the questions that people are thinking. Is that really possible? But in doing this, by tying it to the gospel and using that word, he ties it to Scripture. And that's important to me because that's where our faith really comes from. The Williams translation, which is not mine, I've begun to use it a little more frequently. He says, and I feel sure. So here's that certainty again that in that age it could be walked in. I feel sure that when I do come to you, I shall come with Christ's abundant blessing on me. So it gives us this thought that the fullness of the blessing is an abundance, an overflowing. And you're going to see it's not just one thing. So the fullness of the blessing. Now, the second verse that I want to look at is in Ephesians 1:3. And again, we'll come back to these and study them more. In Ephesians 1:3, New American Standard reads this way. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the word blessed or blessing being used in relationship to the Father, and we'll talk about what that means. And then it says, who has blessed us? So it's God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So he links here, again, with this, Jesus being involved with this blessing. And here he calls it every spiritual blessing. Also look at the word bless here. It's not bless, it's blessed, past tense, meaning we already may have it. And you know from the teaching we've done and from life itself, there are a lot of things that we can see in Scripture that we have, but we may not be walking in it. And then there's times where we realize it's available, but I never knew it. So we're going to uncover a lot of that in this study. The New Living Translation for this one says, all praise to God. So we see a linking of God, blessed be God, and praising Him, which is correct. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, he says, who has blessed us, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are now united with Christ. So there's something in our union with Christ that causes us to have every spiritual blessing available to us. So we take away, we've already been blessed. We've got everything we need. Spiritual blessing-wise, it reminds me of the verse in Peter. Talks about everything we have everything we need for we've been blessed in terms of spirit and this carnal part of the world we live in, even though it doesn't manifest first in this world, but because of our union with our Lord Jesus. Now, again, I think this is every blessing for every spirit being whom we are, created in His image and likeness, which we're about to read, but it's for those who have believed on Jesus. It is available to all, but it is for us, this new creation in Him. The third verse that I want to read to you is really two, and it's in Galatians 3, verses 8 and 9. And it says, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, so it wasn't by works that we were justified, it was by our faith in Jesus, He preached the gospel before to Abraham. So Abraham got a glimpse of what we were going to have, and He did this saying to Abraham, all the nations shall be blessed, so all peoples will be blessed in you. Wow, what a promise. You reckon he gave that some thought? That's quite a statement to see made. The impact that he was going to have in God's plan for mankind. And verse 9 then says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. Again, many people don't know it because this is not talked about a lot. The New Living says, all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing that Abraham received because of his faith. So now we see ourselves involved in this. We see Abraham involved with it. And we've also seen Jesus involved with it. So basically, we've seen three witnesses in Scripture that we, born-again believers, mankind, those of us who have been born again, have been blessed. That's, I think we have firmly established that the blessing is upon us. It is ours. So what I want to do in the rest of the time today is to take some time and to go through and look at the blessing, look at a couple of scriptures where it was introduced, spend some time talking about those, and we're going to see this over and over for these next several weeks. I'm not sure how long, but I know it's going to be at least 3 to 4. Now, I want to make one statement up front before some people say, I don't want to hear it because it's about finances. No, this is not. And you should never tie the blessing of the Lord just to finances. There is a scripture or two that tells us it is included in it, yes, and we don't want to cast that away. But there is so much more in it that you're going to see that you already have been blessed with. The other thing that I want to say, and it's sad to really think about, but for a lot of people, the blessing or the act of saying bless you is just something that is reserved for a sneeze. And that is so sad, and it's absolutely not true. You're going to see that this blessing, what we're going to be talking about, what we share with Abraham and in Christ, God declared over man, his man, and that led to it being available for all of mankind. And I would say for all time. So you're getting a glimpse of where we're going in this, but I want to go slowly and see it scripture by scripture. Now, what does the enemy do? Every good thing that the Lord has, he tries to pervert it or to take something away from it. Thus, the bless you when folks sneeze sometimes. I've made an intentional decision that I will say bless you because I want people to hear that they are blessed. And that's a point that we're going to see, I think, has been lost on a lot of believers today. But as the enemy tries to take away everything good that God had or diminish it, really what he's trying to do is to remove the light, the love, and the goodness of God from it. And this includes the blessing. Now, you may say, well, if God said it, bless God, it's going to come about. And I understand what is being said there, but we play a role in that. Remember Scripture. In fact, I'll read it. Psalm 78, verse 41, tells us that we can limit God. Talking about the children of Israel, it said, yes, again and again, they tempted God. How? By not believing Him, by not trusting Him, by not seeing it possible for them, by seeing themselves as poor, pitiful me. And the next phrase said, and in doing so, they limited the Holy Ones of Israel. So we've got that foundation to build on for this session. So let's get started here and go to Genesis, the first chapter, with me. Now, we're going to be starting in verse 26, but in the first 25 verses, you know that God has been talking about how he created days 1 through 5. And what did he say? Every time he would say, and it was good. God would speak something, it would come about, he would create with his words, and it was good. But in verse 26, 27, and 28, really down through 31, but we're not going to read all of them. Something is about to change where it goes from good to very good. And I hope you remember some of what we talked about. I'll recount it for you in a moment. So let me read 26 through 28 to you in the New King James. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So what is God doing then? He said man is to be the premier one on this of this creation. They're supposed to exercise dominion on all other living things. Now we know we do not do that toward other people. Verse 27 says, "So God created man," he repeats this, "in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them." And then to verse 28, which is where we'll spend time with 28 and 31. "Then God blessed them, and God said to them," and there's a relationship there we'll talk about. And this is what he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every little thing that moves on the earth." Now, we're going to go through this entire verse, but before I do, I want you to see something clearly here. In 28, he says, "Be fruitful and multiply," and notice he says, "Fill the earth." He also says, referencing the earth, "Subdue it." Notice he didn't say, "Fill the garden." He said, "Fill the earth." Now, I believe that this instruction was so powerful, contained so much power in the words of God. How did God create? How was this power released? And I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'll say it again in a moment. By words. How do we release the power of God? By speaking what His Word says. But I believe that what the Lord is telling them here is to fill the earth, not just the garden, and subdue it. In other words, take dominion over the rest of the earth, which was not like the garden. The garden was perfect. I'll go ahead and say, man had everything he needed in the garden to live and live abundantly. Everything. And he had the ability to live a life without all the evil things, including sickness, that we see in the earth today. So I believe the command was of the Lord was really powerful enough for Adam and Eve to fill the garden and then to subdue the other lands. How? I believe by speaking the word of God, just like the Lord did. And I think that was His plan for this earth, and we're about to talk about why a little more. So let's go to verse 31. Now, this will be a repeat of what we've previously discussed when we were talking about the best gift ever. "Then God saw everything that He had made, days 1 through 5 and now day 6. And He says, and indeed, it was very good." And indeed, that's amplifying the goodness. It's saying, this is the absolute truth. This is fact as well. It is very good. And so we know that we're made in both the image and the likeness of God, but there was more. And this is what I told you that the Lord spoke to me before in early December, I guess mid-December, about the second week when we began talking about the best gift ever. And what's the more? The reason I believe it was very good is because you and I were made for fellowship with God. The earth was made for us. We were made, not just for the earth, but for fellowship with the Father. And that's very good. He could have created man, but if we hadn't had the ability to fellowship, it had just been good. It's this ability to fellowship with Him, to love Him back, to praise Him, to worship Him, to receive what a good father wants to give for us. This was his desire, to have a man with whom he could fellowship. And again, all of this creation was for us. It involved all his love, all his goodness, all his kindness. Thus what? Everything that was embodied in the blessing. Now, you say, are you sure about this fellowship? Yeah, that's a real simple one. We're told over and over in the New Testament that we have a way to fellowship with the Lord. But remember Genesis 3:8, the first part, the chapter where we focus on Adam and Eve sinning? It said, in the cool of the day, they heard the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So during that time then, you might say, well, what does that have to do with it? Well, I think this is what he did daily. Why? To come to earth to fellowship with his man. Directly, with no sin, creating an issue for man. Why would he want fellowship with man? Because he loves us. You know, creation, I would say it this way, it was really about a family. So creation was a family project. And I've already told you, one the Lord created the earth in, he made the garden special, he placed the man in the garden. But we what? We have the ability, man had the ability, as he told him, to fill the earth and to subdue it or exercise that dominion on it. But let's go back to Genesis 1:28 and talk about this. And we're probably not going to get quite as far as I'd hoped today, but I think we can set the tone. So let's reread it. Then God blessed them and said to them. Okay, let's just stop there. God blessed them. The Hebrew word is barak, which means literally to kneel before. And we see it in Scripture used when it's used toward God and both toward men. So toward God, we've already seen, it's used as what? Adoration, as praise, respect, humility, submission. And I would add in submission, yielding to his word, because that's us. That describes what we do. Now, toward man, going from a greater to a lesser, you may have heard the phrase, it's often referred to as meaning empowered to prosper. And it does. It involves enduing man with the power or favor that leads to prosperity, success. And I'm quoting some people who understand the etymology of the word and what it means. The fruitfulness, and it implies longevity and abundance, said it this way. It is life impacting every aspect of life. And even in it, with the blessing, we see it even involves in successfully exercising dominion, which is important. Now, we see a couple of examples in Genesis 1 about it. The first one is in 1:22 when it said, God blesses, and then he's talking to the sea creatures. Be fruitful and multiply. So we see that increase. And you say, well, what does that have to do? Well, think about what he did. He created an environment where the sea creatures, when this blessing was spoken, had everything they needed for a productive, fruitful life where they could multiply and fill the seas. It was also said in that same vein, to a similar vein in chapter 12, to Abram, verses 2 and 3. And I won't read it all to you, but think about it. God tells Abram, I will bless you. Why? So that you will be a blessing. And then what did he do? What was the context of Abram being a blessing? Promising him great nationhood, fame, widespread impact. It was also included his material and spiritual prosperity. It was going to impact every area of his life. But it also contained the power that we saw earlier. What? That we are blessed with Abraham. We who believe are blessed with Abraham. So even this has an eternal perspective to it, just like, and involves every aspect of life, just like the blessing to man in Genesis 28. Now, I found, and I think this sums it up good, in this word study book that I found online where I can get bits and pieces of it, it's called the HAW Theological Workbook. Now, HAW is the first initial and the last name of three guys who worked to put this together back in the 80s. And here's what they wrote. Barak conveys enduing with power for success, prosperity, and then here's a word that I had to look up, fecundity, F-E-C-U-N-D-I-T-Y, and here's what that means. The quality or the power of producing fruit, especially in abundance, and it also can mean or describe a productive quality of power. So that's what that word means, and tie that back in with what we talk about the blessing. And that study guide also says the word longevity. So it's enduing with power for success, prosperity, the quality of producing fruit in abundance, and longevity. That's what God blessed his man with. And I think we're going to see clearly in the coming weeks, that same blessing is active over you and me. Now, I want to say again that he spoke the blessing. And how did he do this? How did he bring the world into existence? By the power of his word, or like Hebrews 1 talks about, by the word of his power. Now, I'm going to conclude just giving you a perspective of what we're going to be looking at. But I want you to think about what I'm about to say. You know, some people would say, gosh, man, you're putting too much emphasis on blessing and man, and we've got to put all our emphasis on God and Jesus, because isn't it all about Jesus? And so I want to respond this way to you. From our perspective, everything is all about Jesus. But, and I think it's appropriate to say this after we've just celebrated Jesus laying aside his deity, coming to the earth to be that sacrificial lamb. Before the earth was created, that's what the plan was, as we saw earlier. So I would say it this way, but from Jesus' perspective, it's all about you. You are the reason for the season that we've just celebrated. We came for him. Excuse me. We celebrate him, but he came for us. Now, let this sink in, and we're going to quit with this. Let this sink in. The fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ available to us in our union with Christ. Everything that we need, blessed in all spiritual and physical ways. All that we're going to see came from the original blessing spoken over men. So ponder that, and then next week we'll go in and transition into talking about some of these things to really look into it. Even a question you may have, well, how did sin impact this? And I'm glad you're thinking about it, because we've got the scripture to give us a really good direction on it. We love you. We thank you. I'm honored that you would join us, and I look forward for us together growing and realizing how blessed we are, so that we too might begin to walk in the fullness of the blessing.